2 Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 6 here. And let me just say something that I think that we all need to be reminded of, is that we that come to church and we that leave the church, we have two obligations to do. First one, in coming to church, if you're saved, you'll come to church and ask the Lord Jesus to bless you as you are in church. Now, He will, and He even blesses the ones that don't know Him or anything, because He's blessed them for the power to get up. Because we can't get up without Him. I know that. I know I can't get up. I can't walk. I can't do nothing without Him. And the other is where we can walk with Him, and we don't need to just walk with Him, but we need to be spreading the gospel to the people that we come in contact with. Well, you say, well, preacher, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you can tell an individual, I mean, you can say anything to them. You can say, thank the Lord for today. Thank the Lord for my health. Always use the Lord's name. And when we use the Lord's name in certain ways, then what they will realize too, that we are asking them to come and trust Him. You know, we need to, I don't understand how these individuals, really, truly, that says that they're saved, but yet that they don't want to come to church, they don't want to come in fellowship with the other Christians of like faith. I just don't understand, because they got to be the most miserable individuals on earth. An individual that's saved, but yet don't have a fellowship with another saint. They got to be miserable. Because, you know, the same God that saved me is the same God that will save them or anybody else. And when God, and when the Lord spoke to my heart, He not only spoke to my heart, but He also revealed things that I need to do to prove that I trusted Him as my Savior. There's a whole lot of people out here, and they say they're saved, but they ain't. You ain't seen no proof of it. You ain't never seen no proof of them making any kind of sacrifice. But I'll tell you one thing. You will make a sacrifice to God if you know Him. if you know him. Now, right here we see in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and it's talking about the ministry here, and that says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. It's talking, that right there is talking about honesty. We need to be honest before people, and we need to be honest most of all to God. Which you don't ever do. We can tell God anything we want to tell him, but he knows if we lie or not. And not only that, we cannot be no testimony for him if we go out here and if we say, well, it's not all that and everything. I said, you know, and I know y'all have. You've had people come to you and ask you certain things that's in the Bible, something like that. But what we must realize is that when we'll question about what we think about this subject or that subject in the Bible, we need to watch ourselves. Because what they want to do is get us in an argument with them, to disagreeing with them, and then they will come up and disagree with me. See, the only thing that I can go by is this word. I haven't seen Jesus, and nobody else has either in this day and time. But we have to look to him with his word and tell the people, this is what his word says, I can't change it, and if you want to discuss it, you want to discuss it with somebody else, not with me. Because if the Bible tells you one thing, it says right here in, verse 2 says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifesting of the truth, commending ourselves to every man of conscience in the sight of God. In the very first verse, he was speaking about the honesty. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with other individuals. But most of all, we need to be honest with God. That's the only way God will ever bless anybody, is that if they are honest with God. And you know, and you say, well, why do I need to do that? Because God already knows about me. God already knows this and everything else. And he knows what I'm going to say 30 minutes from now more than what I know. So why do I need to be honest with yourself? And when we're honest with ourselves, we will be honest to other individuals that we come in contact with. We will be honest with them. If they ask us a question, We're supposed to give them an honest answer according to Scripture. And then in verse 2, it's talking about dishonesty. You know, we're having more people today that is dishonest in the way that they think, in the way that they are living, and most of all, they're dishonest with God. And see, Satan, he wants to use the individuals that the Lord has saved, that the Lord has manifested himself within that individual. And also we need to be honest. And a way to be honest is we can go back to the book of Genesis and we can say, hey, I was created in the image and the likeness of God. And that right there, that one verse, we don't need no other verse in the Bible, but that one verse kills all this other stuff that's going on. Because they want to say this, they want to say that, but they can't do it honestly. They're doing it deceitfully. And family members are looking at us that are in church, that love the Lord, that want to see Him work in a way that we haven't seen Him work in a long time. And that's not His fault. It's not His fault because He hasn't come in and maybe brought a load of people come in. It ain't His fault. He has no faults. The fault is with us. The fault is with me. And until I can get my own faults squared away and stood it to them, well, I ain't gonna do that, I don't like that. And instead of being dishonest, I'm never going to be happy as long as we're dishonest. We will never be happy as long as we're dishonest. And I have tried to live my life that way. I've went up to people that has done me wrong, and I went up to them. They never come to me and apologize, but I went up to them and I said, I don't know what I ever done to you, but I apologize. And I hear them come back and say, well, you ain't done nothing to me. See, that got me and him back to talking. Before, we weren't talking, we weren't speaking to each other. But when I done that, and I went to them and telling them what was going on, that I forgive them, and then they said, you ain't done nothing to me. Then the first conversation that me and the gentleman are, me and a co-worker or somebody like that has had a chance to even speak without arguing.
So that's what we need to do. We need to go to them to get them to speak into us. And as we do, we're being blessed two ways. We're being blessed by thy presence and by what we have said and what we're talking about. And not only that, we are blessed by God. Because God blesses his people that obeys him and obeys his particular word. Now, we can't go out here and say, well, last week I used other verses here, but he wants King James in New Testament, NIV, American Bible, or something like that, and everything. Well, see, if I do that, if I come in here today, and I told you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and if I read all the verses from the NIV, and each one of y'all got a King James, you would not even know why, if I was even in the book of Corinthians. You don't even know what's going to happen. Because something has happened that you didn't know anything about. That's the reason we should never substitute the King James Bible with any other Bible. Now, as far as that's concerned, now, we have substituted in a way. Because this is a King James Version. We couldn't even read, I couldn't read the shortest verse in the Bible in the Greek and the Hebrew. Neither can you. Because not unless you have taken Greek and Hebrew, unless you've learned that language. Now, I knew a man, his wife was some kin to Shelby, but he was a pastor, and he'd been a pastor for years and years and years. But he told me one time, he says, over in the Matthew is where he got it from. Over in Matthew, he was reading, and some of the words that he read, he didn't understand. He didn't understand the word. He didn't even understand what them words even meant. So what he done, when he got home, he took an accordance. And he looked at verse up. Every word there. And he give them in the Greek. If it's in Greek, or if it's in Hebrew, the word was there. And he searched out the Greek and the Hebrew to see what it meant. And when he found out what it meant, it changed everything completely around and what he was speaking about. So he started studying Greek and Hebrew. tell you, man could sit there and he could talk to you for 30 minutes. He could talk to you an hour in Hebrew, Greek, and you say, well, I wish he's going to stop mumbling. Because that's what it sounds to us. Because, see, we don't understand it. But if we just would take our time and look up his words, we would understand more about what the Bible really is trying to do for each one of us. And I thank the Lord for that. And verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The gospel's not hid from us, because we're saved. But where the gospel is hidden at is the non-believer I am, and I'm going to go a little further than that, that I believe too in where it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We have more lost people out here than we ever imagined. Because, hey, the gospel's been hid to them. They don't know anything about the gospel. Because if it did, they would know that they need to be right here. They know that they need to be in church on Sunday morning. They don't need to be home. They don't need to be at Walmart. They don't need to be at wherever. They need to be in church. Because when you're in church, that means the gospel is not being hidden from you. But it says that, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. They've never known God. They've never known the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never known him at all. But yet they're trying to make light that, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I go to church. But then they don't. And they're just fooling themselves. It's not that they're fooling other people, because that don't even come in. It don't even come in on the subject, because the individual is thinking about all these other things. And they said the gospel is hidden to them, to who? To lost. And he is. But I'll tell you one thing, that Satan will blind us to the point that we think we can see clearly, but we can't, because over there in the book of James, it speaks of the mirror. It speaks of a mirror there, that we can go to the mirror. And we can look in that mirror, and what do we see? Ourselves. I don't see my wife if I'm standing in front of a mirror. I don't see her. I don't see no one else but me. And yes, in a Christian, the Lord's there with you. The Bible tells you that. He's there with you. He's going to be with you until we all go home. And when we go home, Hallelujah. Praise be to God. We ain't gonna have to worry about nothing. We ain't gonna have to worry about thinking about this or that, because our eyes and our heart is gonna be revealed and is gonna be open to the fact that that's what they in need of. And we're all in need of that. For Satan, he will blind the individual, where the gospel has been hidden from them. And yet, with Satan, he will tell them, oh, the gospel is not hidden from you. You saved. Don't you remember when you come to the altar? Don't you remember when you asked God to save you? Don't you remember this? Don't you remember this time or that time when all this happened? Yeah, I remember. But what did I do with it? Did I just say, well, yeah, I remember that day when I came to the altar. I remember that day and what me and God talked about. But yet, what did I do with it? I leave it right there. I don't carry it with me to where I can use that to build up somebody else. But I take that and I will use that in a way to draw more people away from God than anything. See, that's the only thing Satan wants to do. Satan, he don't want to attack the lost, because he's already got them. The ones that he wants to attack, and the one that he wants to get in the life in a way, and when he get in that, like us other, I mentioned that something about a crack or crevice. And that old slew foot, he can go be flat right up on a crevice. Here's a crevice right here, and one of my fingers is being the crevice, and then the other fingers that's around that one will be extended flat. Because see, that's what Satan is. He's a deceiver. He's not a one that gives joy. He deceives man's heart. But see, our heart was already deceived when we come out of our mother's womb. Then after that, then from that time forward, we started to die. We started out in what some people will call it something else, but yet they can end up calling it, and they need to be honest with themselves, and they can be honest with themselves at a young age, but they have to realize that they are dying. They're not living. I don't understand where they come about and how they come across in calling the insurance a life insurance policy. Who buys a life insurance policy? Who pays for it? The individual pays for it. But yet we call it a life policy. It should be called a death policy. Because that's what we are to Satan. Satan looks at us as dead men and in dead bones. I mean, he looks at us and says, man, I got you fooled. And hallelujah, and it ain't going to be long before he comes back, and he's going to come back, and yes, and he's going to get a few, but I'm going to get a whole lot more than he's going to get. That's true, that he is. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, God, we ask, Father, that you can give each one of us, Father, a little glimmer of hope. And Father, I pray that your word can go forward and can touch the hearts of the people as we come in contact with them. That my spirit can kind of, in a way, connect with them and just tell them how much God loves them and how much I also love them. You know, people don't say that anymore. You don't hear people say about, I love you anymore. But I love all mankind. I want to see as many as I can see to get saved. That's my heart's desire. I do not want no one to go and spend eternity with Satan and with the brimstone. Father, I want them to be able to go to heaven. Father, where I'm going to be there for eternity. But I'm going to be there with my Lord and my Savior. And my other friends and my family that knew you, Lord, that has gone on before. So, Father, we ask today that you may speak to our hearts in certain ways and speak to all of our hearts. That yes, that we all have something that we can say, that we can give back to you, Lord, for what you gave, for what you've given us. I thank you for that. I love you for that. But most of all, I thank you for saving my soul and hearing that plea unto you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.